8:15, Galesburg's Morning News. Well, unfortunately, legislation has half-passed in Springfield. Good morning. This is Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Erta, Tyler Gom, Nick Isher. We talked a little bit about this legislation. It changed, whatever that was, I think House Bill 163 changed to House Bill 3653. And this is police reform, and there's a whole lot of there. I mean, there were probably some good things in the bill, but there was a whole lot of really, really bad things that are going to make our state way less safe, and apparently it passed the Senate this morning in Springfield just before 5 o'clock, so the House will be voting on it today. So we're going to talk more about some of the effects it could have on citizens and on the policing here in the state of Illinois. Joining us to talk more about it is Knox County Sheriff David Clegg. Sheriff, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Well, I know this has been a topic of discussion a lot over the last several months by especially the law enforcement community and those that lobby for you. I know you've had lots and lots of meetings, probably more Zoom-wise than anything, but you've been talking to a lot of people, including our legislators.
Yes. This actually started 8-9 months ago.
Okay.
And since then, it's just blossomed. And I think, let's say Sunday, I had 4 Zoom meetings. 3 conference calls, and then calls after that. Saturday was 2 Zooms. Yesterday was 1 Zoom. The day before, I think we had 4 Zooms. And jeez. But it all has to do with ever-ongoing process in Springfield. And my hats are off, is off to our local politicians. Representative Swanson had a Zoom meeting. Didn't have to have, but he did, showing support. Representative Hammond, same thing, very, very supportive, and the brand new senator out of Peoria,
Wendt Stoller.
Yes,
yeah,
he was sworn in a week ago today, and he called me the very next evening, and we talked for about an hour, and then he was part of a sponsor of a Zoom meeting the next night. So, at least our local politicians have supported what law enforcement is wanting.
You know, and what's so interesting that it seems like, okay, so it passed through the Senate. There's got to be some downstate senators that voted for this thing. But, you know, as Representative Swanson talked yesterday, and you and I were just talking off the air, there's a lot of this that has to do with things happening in Chicago and don't really have to do with things happening downstate. But it really will affect how you police negatively. Because this is going to be, it's not going to be for just Cook County and Chicago. This is going to be for the whole state of Illinois.
Correct. And, you know, early on and as recently as a couple of weeks ago, that was our contention as to why should everyone suffer when it's primarily a Cook County suburb situation. And I'm not saying that cops are all bad up there either, but it seems to be more focused upon that area as opposed to downstate due to homicides every day occurring. So I just, and we always had a deaf ear. Nobody would listen. And I just feel that downstate, it's going to be a huge, huge issue, especially when it comes to funding. And I think you're going to see a mass exodus of law enforcement.
Wow. Well, yeah, and it's hard. It's getting harder and harder to get young people that want to go into that profession at this point anyway, so that's going to make it even harder.
Very hard. Back in 74, when I hired on with the city, 124 applicants.
Wow.
We're lucky to get 10 today.
Wow. Yeah, and it just keeps getting harder and harder, and it's a hard job, and it's become, because of a lot of things going on, it's obviously become more stressful over the last several years, especially. I mean, and you've seen it being, you know, like you said, since 1974, you've seen the stress level go up.
Yes.
For, especially if you're, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter what position, but especially if you're patrolling, I don't care if it's Chicago or Peoria or Galesburg or in, you know, Rio, it's still, you still, you know, not that you weren't always mindful and of everything going on around you, but
it's
even more so now.
Much more so. You know, back in 74 as a patrolman, yeah, you might have a man with a gun call once every 2 or 3 nights. Now it just seems like that's the norm.
Yeah, it's scary. All right, Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning. Let's talk about some of the things in the bill. We talked a little bit with our new state's attorney, Jeremy Carlin, the other morning about how some things that could affect his office and how he does his job, which would make things more dangerous for people, things to do with bail and all that, that are in this bill. Let's talk about the police side of things. One, as you said, funding. You would probably lose some. Not only we talked about hiring, but it sounds like you would probably lose some positions in your department, which would probably be the same for Galesburg Police Department as well and other departments around the state.
Yes. Several issues. The first one briefly discuss is eliminates the rights of officers to have collective bargaining. Well, everybody might say, well, you know, all they're going to do is fight for an increase in salary. But collective bargaining is much deeper than that. You know, they can come to me and say, hey, we might file a grievance that we need more manpower. There's just a lot of things regarding collective bargaining. To sit down and negotiate a contract. There's a lot of input that they give me or any sheriff, any chief, information that maybe I'm not seeing that affects them from every day. Another thing regarding collective bargaining is every agency has a grievance procedure, and it can start out with a verbal discussion and could end with termination. They're wanting to do away with us, chiefs and sheriffs, having authority doing that, handing down discipline. It will be a committee formed by the governor. We'll be sitting in Springfield, and they will hear the cases, which concerns me.
Well, yeah, because you're the one that's here, and you know your people, and you know what's going on. You have more insight into that person, and you might be able to determine, it's like, okay, this was a mistake that I don't think this person will make again or whatever, when that committee just sees, oh, that's horrible what they did. We got to get rid of them.
Right.
They don't know the person.
The collective bargaining, there's various, obviously, if there's something serious, you can go right to termination. But if it's a much lesser nature, start out with a verbal meeting with them, document it, then a documented discussion later, and it progresses to the point of termination, which you hope you never get to that point. Whereas what they are proposing is that if John Doe citizen calls in a complaint and it's an anonymous complaint, that person stands a great chance of being terminated by the panel in Springfield.
And with no investigation as to whether this complaint is, there's any truth behind it or facts or
what,
anything.
What they've kind of dumped on the Illinois Law Enforcement Standards and Training Board is that whatever investigation might be deemed necessary, it'll go to them. Well, they are almost bankrupt themselves. How are they going to get the funding? And, you know, it's just very much at limbo. I don't think anything was broken with the current way it's been handled, and they're creating a huge divide.
Well, and it sounds like it would be a case where an officer or a deputy rather than innocent until proven guilty, would be guilty and have to prove their innocence. They don't have to prove you did what they said you did. You have to prove that you didn't somehow.
Exactly. That's right.
You have to, you know, with your dispute. Wow.
Not you true. Know, another thing which has been discussed for years prohibits departments from taking advantage of the law enforcement or the federal surplus program. And we have participated. You know, I think people think that, you know, you're getting tanks and you're getting rifles and sharpshooter rifles. And tell you a story that happened to me early on. Back in February, we had a real horrible snowstorm. And there's nothing any more chilling to the bone when at 2:30 in the morning you get a call from the dispatch saying, we have a state trooper that's stranded out on 74, just the side of Woodhull, and nobody can get to him. And he's almost out of gas. Well, we had no vehicles that were equipped to go through 3-4 foot high drifts. And I made a pledge to myself then that we would look into the surplus. And we got 4 Humvees at no cost to the citizens. We have utilized them through snow. We've utilized them through rain and floods. It's been a huge benefit. But the moral of that story is, without that, I don't know how many lives would have been saved without having them.
Right. It's not like you're getting, oh, you got howitzer? Yeah, we'll take one of those. Yeah. It's not. It's things that are necessary to do your job to protect, you know, not only citizens, but law enforcement as well.
Right.
Obviously. Right. So Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning talking about House Bill 3653, police reform, that apparently passed in the Senate this morning just before 5 o'clock. It'll go to the House floor at some point today. More than likely, we'll see. But there's just so much in there that is going to affect not only the state's attorney and how they do their job, but law enforcement. You know, I know one of the big things is the immunity.
Yeah.
How do you not? That's got to be part of the job. I don't understand how it can't be, but that's what one of the things they want to eliminate is immunity for law enforcement.
Supposedly last night about 8 o'clock, that was taken away.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Now,
okay.
That was a notification I had received. But the immunity is, why would anyone want a job that every time you go out and do your job, you're standing to have a civil lawsuit filed against you? And with what they're proposing, had been proposing, was that each officer, each individual officer, would be responsible for paying that out of pocket. I think physicians have to pay for their own insurance regarding lawsuits.
Malpractice, and yeah.
And number one, we don't get paid enough money to pay that type of an monthly insurance, and it would take one time to wipe out an entire family that has been saving, has been paying their house bill, and the government comes in because you've been sued, takes your house, your accounts, everything you have. It's just not right.
Yeah. And again, like you said, you have trouble getting people that want to do the job anyway. There's another strike against, why would I do that if it's opening me up to this just for doing my job?
Exactly.
And that's what it also sounds like. There are some things in there, it seems like, that kind of prevent you maybe from doing your job in law enforcement, whether it's preventing crime or if a crime happens, even that it's kind of, it seems like it's kind of putting you more at risk or just keeping you from doing what you need to do as law enforcement.
You know, I think it's keeping us at risk much more so. I think that we see it in Chicago where the officers are so discouraged that most of them don't do anything in fear of retaliation from the local government, retaliation from whatever association, because they are trying to do their job, and for some unknown reason, someone's saying you're not doing it right. You know, we have for 2 years now, Illinois sheriffs have proposed to the lawmakers a ride-along program to have that senator from the Cook County area come to Knox County, meet with me, talk, go out on patrol for 3 or 4 hours. Go back in the jail and work for a couple hours. It's a different scenario than Cook County. We're all at the same goal, but it's different. You know, they have 14,000 officers. How many officers do we have?
Right.
And we have proposed that, and in return, I would then go to that senator's place of business and meet with him, and he would take me on a tour of his district. In fact, majority of the Black Caucus stood behind us at a press release in the basement of the Capitol building about a year ago, all in agreeance. Not one has taken us up on it. And now how can they vote or make a bill eliminating law enforcement without first participating?
Yeah, just this blanket bill that covers everyone and everything when their issue is with what happens in their home district.
You know, it's easy to sit behind a desk and say, well, we need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But they don't know the time involved on doing this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And they're eager to make changes.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. You talked about even like how, like in the city of Chicago in particular, how discouraged a lot of those officers are because they've made up some other rules up there in the city. I know I've told you before, a friend of a friend who's a Chicago cop, that prevention basically doesn't happen now, because before they kind of knew in certain neighborhoods what was going on and they could sometimes prevent things from happening.
Right.
Well, when they changed the rule, anytime you talk to somebody, you got to give them your card with your badge number and everything so they can file a complaint against you if they want, even though all you're doing is talking to them.
Yeah.
So for the most part, they just stop talking to people, which in turn stops the prevention part of it. It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore, so this crime's probably going to happen now, and we're going to be there after the fact.
And that's a shame. I mean, the public requires and needs and wants law enforcement. Now, yeah, there are those that are breaking the law that don't want it, but the majority of the citizens need and want law enforcement.
What about one of the things in there that was discussed a little bit yesterday, the legalization of heroin and meth? Was that was still part of it, as far as you know?
As far as I know.
Wow. Okay, so Tyler and I talked about, there's a movie that was called Spun that we both watched, and it made really good-looking actors and actresses look really horrible because they were all on meth. And I'm thinking, that's what things are going to become. These people were just in such horrible, horrible shape. The story was all about meth. It was like, again, you do a ride-along and you pick up somebody who is on it, or you've seen what it does to people. I can't imagine you'd want to legalize it then. or heroin, for that matter.
Yeah. Two very dangerous drugs that they're wanting to reduce down to a misdemeanor, slap it on the hand, and do nothing. The state's attorney, always in the past, indicated that about 85% of his caseload was related to narcotics. So what's this going to happen when it's becoming a misdemeanor? And the physical condition of the meth heads, you know, we've seen different agencies have put in the before usage,
right,
and the after. You don't recognize them, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic. So us taxpayers are paying the bill for the doctors, the ER visits, and I think the lawmakers feel no differently than the marijuana. Do nothing, and it'll go away. It will not go away, nor has it gone away with marijuana.
Well, one of the biggest problems with the meth is the manufacture and how dangerous that is. And people are, you know, we've had houses explode, catch fire, you know, who knows, kids in the house, neighbors. I mean, that whole danger, and that increases that as well.
Yeah, very much so. Peoria was the very first time that this has been back in the late 90s that had a massive house explosion due to meth. And it just seems like, you know, I hope you've never walked in when they're cooking. But when you do walk in, there's like a cloud out of the sky.
And kind of like ammonia type?
Yes.
And
it's from about your shoulder on up, and you walk into that, and that's what causes the explosion. Whether you flip a light switch on or the heater kicks on your water heater, that's enough to cause the explosion, out alone the kids there.
Yeah.
But yet, I guess they want it as a misdemeanor.
Wow. Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning, talking about House Bill 3653, apparently passed the Senate this morning. It'll go to the Illinois House this morning. Anything else, any particulars from the bill that are going to affect negatively the way that law enforcement is able to do their job here in Illinois?
Well, one very quick thing is training. Now, we, for as long as I've been a cop, 46 years, there's always the urge or the need to have training. Right now, couple of years back, there were mandated classes that every law enforcement in the state of Illinois has to take every year, same six classes. So we did that. Now the Black Lives Matter, the Black Caucus, is saying we want an additional 10. So what happens is, if I don't have my officers go, they can be decertified. But on the other hand, I don't have the overtime to pay them, and because we've always relied upon the Illinois Law Enforcement Standards and Training Board, who has mobile training units throughout the state, and we pay a minimum fee, and it's a one-time fee, and they go to class. Well, they're about bankrupt as well, so how is that going to affect the community? Taxes. And I don't think any of us want to see taxes increased, but that's what they're looking at. Basic training for a jailer, about 14,000.
Wow.
And I sent four of them for basic training, which is a requirement within 12 months. We had to foot the bill.
Wow. So cutting the budget, number one, but then increasing your cost to your spending to train the officers. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
You know, another thing that I agree with, and I looked into it several years ago, was body cams. And I think the city just recently went to
them.
The camera itself isn't all that expensive. The expensive part is the storage. And we're talking over $100,000. And I'm sorry, but I don't have it in my budget. I know the county doesn't have it, but now we're going to be required to do it. And if I accidentally turn it off when I'm in the restroom and didn't turn it back on, they're saying termination.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah, it'd be one thing if there is some sort of grant from the government or the government of the state was providing this, but it's like, no, you have to do it, and it's at your expense, even though we're cutting your budget.
Yeah, it says body cameras by all departments for every officer, and no money to pay for the cost of these cameras.
Of course not. Yeah. Of course not. Anything good in the bill?
let's see. No, I didn't think so.
I didn't think so. All right.
You know, in closing, I'll say this. You've heard me say it before.
Mm-hmm.
The public, in my opinion, supports law enforcement, the majority. But they've become a minority for not speaking up. They've impressed me. The public has impressed me. As of last night, 150,000 citizens have either filled out the witness slip, have written something to their representative. It's unbelievable, the support. And to think that the politicians who will rely upon those votes are now taking action in their own hands, hopefully will not be revoted.
Yep, hopefully not. Knox County Sheriff David Clegg joining us here this morning. Well, I want you to know, Sheriff, that I definitely always will support law enforcement. I'm glad there's people willing to do it. I am too much of a coward. Tyler, how about you? You want to do it?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad there are people willing to do a very, very dangerous job and help keep us safe. And, again, hopefully some of that ability to do that won't be taken away from you.
Right. We appreciate your support very much.
Sheriff, thank you so much for your time. Always appreciate it.